It's Tuesday, November 24th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. More great news in the media for local Normal chapters all around the country. The flurry of news reports on the Oregon Cannabis Cafe, which is run by Oregon Normal, continues this week as USA Today has featured Executive Director Madeline Martinez on the front cover over the fold of today's USA Today. So run out to your newsstands and pick up a copy. Madeline was also interviewed by Amy Goodman from the internet television show Democracy Now! We have that video up online at stash.normal.org. And Cliff Duvall from the newly formed Normal of Waco, Inc. was on local television in Waco, Texas, along with Alan Carruthers, a medical marijuana patient and member of Normal of Waco, making waves there in Central Texas. If you've got media from your local Normal chapter that you'd like to have featured on the Daily Audio Stash blog and or podcast, make sure you let me know by sending me a note at stash@normal.org. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we're going to begin with your cannabis community calendar and some shout-outs, and then it's on to your hemp headlines, which include a look at South Dakota teens who say it's easier to get marijuana than alcohol. We look at two corrupt deputies in Florida who are accused of shaking down a marijuana grower for bribes so that they would not prosecute him. And the Trusted Shipper program for trucking companies between Mexico and the United States has, surprise, attracted drug dealers. For our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by Sarah Kant Photography and GirlsForGanja.com, we bring you Electric Tuesday with a song by Keister called This Joint Right Here. And for our interview today, it's time for our California Marijuana Report, a podcast within a podcast featuring Eric Brenner. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Roll me something fat and long. Pack me a bowl or fill me a bong. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for your cannabis community calendar, available online at normal.org/calendar. To get your events added to the calendar, send me an email with the subject calendar request to stash@normal.org. On Wednesday, November 25th, it's Weed Wednesday on 90.1 FM KKFI in Kansas City, Missouri, or streaming live at kkfi.org, and Kansas City Normal will be joining them, so make sure to tune in on the last Wednesday of every month. Thursday, November 26th is Thanksgiving Day, and Kansas City Normal will be with The Schwag, a band at the Uptown Theater that is a Grateful Dead tribute band with a special $20 membership for the thankful on this Thanksgiving Day. Check out kcnormal.org for more details or dial 888-KC-NORMAL and then dial extension 420. On Saturday, November 28th, Oregon Normal is having its twice-monthly cardholder meeting at the Village Ballroom at 700 Northeast Deakum, just upstairs from the Cannabis Cafe. It's open only to Oregon Normal members who are patients or cardholders in the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. For more details, check out ornorml.org. Also on Saturday, Normal Nebraska is having an open meeting in Omaha. This will be at McFoster's Natural Kind Cafe. And Normal of Waco, Inc. will be participating in a nighttime disc golf tournament. Registration at 4 p.m. More information at Normal of Waco, Inc.'s website. And Normal Show Live will be on the air Saturday night, featuring special guests indie film actor Hal B. Klein in the first hour, and filmmaker Dal Pospoli, the director of the new film Fix, which takes a look at drugs and addiction in America. Then on Tuesday, December 1st, Joplin, Missouri Normal is having their monthly meeting at the Blackthorn Pub and Pizza. For more information on all of these events, including maps, links to websites, contact information, phone numbers, and emails, check out our calendar at normal.org/calendar. It's a Normal shout-out. Our shout-outs today continue our shout-outs from yesterday, which continue our Sesame Street theme. Today's shout-outs are sponsored by the letter K and go out to all of the states in America that have a K in their name but don't have a Normal chapter. That would include Kansas, Kentucky, Alaska, and North Dakota. So if you're in one of those states and would like to get organized to help fight marijuana prohibition in your neck of the woods, send me an email at stash@normal.org and we'll show you how to get you and four others together to form your Normal chapter and get the fight started.
Well, I smoked some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike, didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform, should have gone to the web and typed in Norm. Norm to the L.O.R.G. Normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. South Dakota teens say marijuana easier to get than alcohol. From Keloland Television. Parents are being encouraged to talk to their teens about drugs, specifically marijuana. While you might think alcohol would be the top substance teens try to get their hands on, local drug experts and teenagers themselves say pot is actually easier to get than booze. Christy Alton is the director of the adolescent program at Keystone Treatment Center in Canton. She says 83% of the teens treated there have some sort of dependence on marijuana. Sarah says she started smoking pot when she was just 14 years old because it was easier to get a hold of than alcohol. Quote, you don't have to have an age to be a drug dealer. You don't have to go find someone who is 21. You just know people who have it and you go find it, end quote, Sarah said. But counselors say marijuana is so dangerous among teens because it leads them to use other drugs. Quote, weed became my drug that I would do while I was doing other drugs. Basically, it was a gateway drug for me. It just opened up so many other doors to do so many more drugs, because if I could handle weed, I could handle anything, because weed was okay, end quote, Sarah said. Counselors also say marijuana is dangerous because drug dealers often lace it with other harder drugs, such as meth, so that teens get addicted to that as well. I know this is supposed to be a scare story for patients, but I wonder how many of them make the simple connection that the reason the pot is easier to get than the booze is exactly because it is illegal. Sarah's statements are probably the best arguments for ending prohibition and regulating marijuana that I've read all day. Alcohol dealers must be of age and licensed and can lose that license for selling to minors. Alcohol consumers are carded for ID and must be 21. There is much public education for people about the dangers of alcohol abuse and resources for people who wish to stop abusing alcohol. Alcohol isn't grouped in the illegal drugs category with heroin, meth, cocaine, LSD, ecstasy, and others, so that when a teen tries alcohol and has a good time and can handle it, he or she doesn't equate good times to all the other illegal drugs. And please, the adulterated weed notion is a laugh. If Johnny Dealer has both weed and meth to sell, he'll sell weed to those who'll buy it and meth to those who'll buy it. It's not like weed sales are hurting and Johnny Dealer needs a way to pick it up. Weed sells itself. Besides, if Johnny Dealer uses his meth to spike weed, he can't sell the meth to the tweakers, and he can't raise the price of the meth weed, lest customers go to Susie Dealer down the block, or begin to suspect the weed is somehow spiked. Further, a meth high and a weed high, and I've done both, so I know, are quite different, and most mellow tokers aren't going to like the jittery meth high, and Johnny will actually lose customers. Florida deputies facing corruption charges for grow house shakedown. Fort Lauderdale, CBS 4. Deputies Manuel Silva, age 34, and Fausto Tejero, age 40, have been accused of taking money from a man they found growing marijuana in his home in exchange for not arresting him. According to sheriff's investigators, on September 29th, Silva and Tejero went to the home of 38-year-old Orlando Gutierrez. Gutierrez said Silva, who was out of uniform, flashed his badge and gun and insisted on taking a look around the residence. Feeling pressured, Gutierrez said he consented, and that's when Silva found the five marijuana plants he'd been growing inside the house. Silva reportedly told Gutierrez in exchange for a payoff, he wouldn't arrest him or confiscate the plants. Silva also allegedly promised to tell Gutierrez who had tipped him off about the drugs in the house. Gutierrez said Tejero, who was in uniform and driving a marked patrol car, acted as backup for Silva. Through their investigation, internal affairs detectives determined that Tejero knew that Silva was extorting money from Gutierrez. On Tuesday, prosecutors dropped the most serious charge against the men, armed burglary, but added a few new charges, including bribery. Silva was taken into custody and was ordered held until he could post a $10,000 bond for the new charges. Corruption is inevitable under prohibition. This is just the one case we're reading about that makes it to an investigation and trial. How many other growers are already paying off the local cops in exchange for a blind eye to their operations? Prohibition gives growers all the money they need to bribe officials and police. The cash nature of the business and seizure laws give officials and police all the leeway they need to shake down the growers. Mexican drug trafficking organizations are controlling the drug business in 230 American cities right now. It's not just possible that they are bribing some of our officials and police. It's likely. Marijuana accounts for 60 to 70% of these organizations' profits, which are hyperinflated thanks to prohibition. If we had a charity that was so transparently funding Al-Qaeda terrorist cells in 230 American cities, the FBI would shut it down immediately. Well, prohibition of marijuana is a charity for Mexican drug traffickers that have killed four times more Mexicans than Al-Qaeda killed Americans on September 11th. Trusted Shipper Trucking Program Between Mexico and USA Attracting Marijuana Smugglers. From Arizona Central, Laredo, Texas. a U.S. program that offers trusted trucking companies speedy passage across American borders, has begun attracting just the sort of customers who place a premium on avoiding inspections: Mexican drug smugglers. Most trucks enrolled in the program pause at the border for just 20 seconds before entering the United States, and 9 out of 10 of them do so without anyone looking at their cargo. Some experts now question whether the program makes sense in an environment where drug traffickers are willing to do almost anything to smuggle their shipments into the U.S. The government keeps the list of participants secret, citing national security and trade secrets. But some of the 9,500 companies who are part of the system advertise their membership to drum up business, making them targets for smugglers who can then threaten drivers or offer them bribes. In a 24-hour period in April, customs officers in Laredo found 3 tons of marijuana in trucks carrying auto parts across 2 different bridges. 5 days after that, agents in El Paso, Texas, found more than 4 tons of marijuana in a tractor trailer hauling auto parts. Stephen Flynn, senior fellow for counterterrorism and national security studies at the Council on Foreign Relations, said truckers do not feel safe rejecting bribes, no matter what agreements their companies have made with the U.S. government. Quote, "The basic vulnerability for a truck driver remains the plata o plomo dilemma," Flynn said, using Spanish shorthand for taking a bribe or a bullet. Yet another example of U.S. security being undermined by the dollar. If you create a separate security screening for the haves versus the have-nots, whether it is a speed pass at a trucking border or an express line at the airport, you simply create a better smuggling option for traffickers, who have plenty of money to get the special speedy treatment. There is no fence high enough, no screening perfect enough, and no guard vigilant enough to counter the laws of supply and demand. Malaysia has the death penalty for drug traffickers, and yet every year they have to execute some, which suggests to me that even the death penalty isn't stopping people from getting drugs. Charles Manson was running drugs in a supermax federal prison even while he was in solitary confinement. Legalize it, let us grow it, and you'll see a drastic reduction in marijuana seized at the border. Trust me.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sarah Kant Photography and GirlsForGanja.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on the Daily Audio Stash, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Keister was formed by guitarist and producer Charlie Guidry and DJ remixer Richie Wallace. Introduced by a mutual friend in 2000, the combination of Guidry's background in old school breaks, classic rock, industrial, and blues was an unlikely pairing with Wallace's lean toward electro breaks, house, and underground circuit grooves. From humble beginnings that included a lone 303 and tattered Fender amp, the duo found common ground as they expanded their White Lightning studios to include an arsenal of various outboard gear and software-based instruments. Song elements that couldn't be recorded within the small confines of their basement project studio were laid down at Arlen's studio, where Guidry worked as an audio engineer. By 2006, Keister counted more than 50 tracks among its catalog, 12 of which found their home on the group's debut album, Do Be Careful. More than a mere showcase of skills and creativity, Do Be Careful chronicles some of Keister's strangest memories since their formation, everything from the nostalgia of a memory, high school reunion and together, to a hydroponics dream, fingers and keys, and house raid by the Austin police force. The song we'll hear today, This Joint Right Here. For more information about Keister, including press photos, track previews, and news, visit www.kissmykeister.com. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Keister with This Joint Right Here.
Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Every Tuesday, we bring you a podcast within a podcast dedicated exclusively to the ground zero of marijuana reform in America, California. We turn over the daily audio stash to your Golden State host, Eric Brenner, and the California Marijuana Report.
You're listening to California Marijuana Report. Here's your host, Eric Brenner.
This is the California Marijuana Report for the week of November 23rd, 2009. I'm Eric Brenner. This week, we're back in Los Angeles to fight against Steve Cooley and now Attorney General Jerry Brown. We have an exclusive interview with Cheryl Schumann, the executive director of Normal90210.org, about the new war on pot in L.A., and we hear from a band called Vetiver on our California Marijuana Music segment, Roll on Babe. Only on the California Marijuana Report.
California's Attorney General says he supports efforts by L.A. prosecutors to go after marijuana dispensaries selling pot to patients. Jerry Brown says marijuana is illegal to sell no matter what, but he says the state's medical marijuana law is very confusing about who's allowed to provide the drug to patients.
Unfortunately, in some communities, Los Angeles in particular, there's a lot of exploitation and just getting into the drug business and the dope business.
Brown says he hopes the courts or the legislature help to clarify the laws.
That's how it was reported on AM 640 KFI News Talk Radio, Los Angeles. California Attorney General Jerry Brown, Democrat from California, who says Steve Cooley, the district attorney in Los Angeles, is doing the right thing by shutting down these dispensaries. To speak about this new fight here for patients' rights in California, I'm so pleased to say hello to my new friend, Cheryl Schumann. Cheryl, you're the executive director of Beverly Hills Normal. Congratulations on the new chapter down there in Beverly Hills. Let me ask you this. Jerry Brown, the California Attorney General, he's been around the political scene for decades now.
Absolutely.
What?
You know, the interesting thing to me, Eric, is, you know, I've kind of grown up with Jerry Brown, so to speak, through his, you know, pot smoking days, quite frankly, with Linda Ronstadt and being involved in the California government for many, many years. And quite frankly, being a Democrat and a liberal, I've always been a fan of Jerry Brown's. But he's reached a point, in my opinion, where this entire movement with him aligning himself with Steve Cooley and Carmen Tretanich is, to me and to many people, strictly politically motivated. I would have voted for Jerry Brown for governor in this next election. But now I have very serious concerns. It is my opinion and the opinion of many others who are politically active, who are medical cannabis patients, that this alignment with Steve Cooley and Los Angeles and what's going on with City Council is strictly politically motivated. I believe, as many others do, that this is something strictly for publicity, for headlines.
Many of these dispensaries do provide real needs for some of our patients here in California. What kind of mixed message is Jerry Brown sending to the patients of California?
When the new Attorney General guidelines came down in August of 2008, and it's been a little over a year now, they're still somewhat ambiguous. What the Attorney General guidelines state is basically that you can form together as a club or a collective. You can collectively grow. And whomever is collectively growing within your collective can be reimbursed for out-of-pocket costs. However, it does not distinguish in those guidelines how much the person in charge of the garden can be reimbursed. It does not specify, does this person, is he reimbursed for nutrients, soil, the clones, the seeds, is he reimbursed for his time or she reimbursed for his time? There's really no clarification as far as what is the accepted reimbursement package, and that's the big divisive issue. I sat in with City Council all, you know, going over these issues, and the one big word that's holding everyone up is sales and cash. The city DA and the city attorney and the district attorney are trying to state that if there is any cash exchanged between the hands of the patients and the collective, they are trying to say that that is illegal, and they're trying to say that any cash exchanged is a sale. And that was the big buzzword within those city council meetings. There must be clarification in what is acceptable for reimbursement. And from what most people are able to decipher out of the Attorney General guidelines, is that, of course, it should be legal to pay someone for their time and efforts in producing that medicine, because otherwise, where does the medicine come from? The medicine will not fall out of the sky. The biggest problem that I see in the way collectives are run, quite frankly, and I know a lot of these collectives, is they will buy product from outside of the collective and bring it in, and that's the big issue. Now, for me as an activist, for me as a medical cannabis patient, a legal medical cannabis patient, I personally want to know where my medicine is coming from. As a cancer survivor, I want to know that the medicine that I put inside my body is healthy, that it's free from pesticides and so forth, and that's really important to me. So the big issue is controlling where the medicine comes from. It needs to be tested so there's no quality issues. And those are the big issues that are in front of the city council and the DA. And what I think needs to happen is that Jerry Brown needs to use his power for the good. Maybe he should set up a patient's advisory council or someone who actually knows the business, who knows what it's like to be a cannabis patient, who knows what it's like to be working in the garden, who knows what it's like to grow organically and really look out for the health of the patient. We would be amiss if we did not recognize the fact that there are some collectives that are running illegally, and quite frankly, those bad collectives, I feel, do need to be reprimanded and shut down for any activity that's going to make the good people look bad.
Okay, now, Cheryl, let me ask you this, and I support the dispensaries, but what do you think about the idea of people just growing marijuana in their backyards, just like they would grow tomatoes or strawberries, for their own needs, for their own medical needs, without fear of prosecution from the government?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question. I agree specifically with the way you're stating it. If people can grow in their own backyards and grow their own medicine, absolutely, I support that 100%. There are people, however, who have multiple sclerosis or who are dying with AIDS or dying with cancer. I personally was bedridden for many months, where there's no way I could have grown my own, and I needed to have a dispensary or a collective that I could go to get my medicine. And in that case, where the person is physically unable to grow, there has to be another option. And in those regards, I'm happy to pay taxes on it. To me, and this is my own personal viewpoint, if I am unable to grow for myself, and if I need to pay taxes or pay someone to grow medicine for me, I'm happy to do that. But to me, anyone, whether it be Eddie Lepp or John Deere down the street, if they are growing medicine for people who are legal cannabis patients, they should be allowed to do so. And as long as they have enough recommendations to cover however many plants they're growing, they should be left alone.
The governor's race right around the corner. Tell me, who's Cheryl Schumann backing in 2010?
I'm going to hold out and wait and see that we can keep meeting with Attorney General Brown and literally put a human face on this movement.
You're under the watchful guise of District Attorney Steve Cooley. Do you feel threatened at all?
Absolutely. I really do. One of my biggest concerns is I am a legal medical cannabis patient. I certainly belong to a legal cannabis collective, and now as the executive director for Beverly Hills Normal, I am concerned. My biggest concern is being made a target for these people, and I fear arrest myself not because I've done anything wrong, but because I'm afraid they're going to want to make an example out of someone. And generally when they want to make an example out of someone, they want to profile or go after a high-profile person. So it is a fear, and it's a fear that causes me tremendous lack of sleep at night. But at the same time, that fear motivates me, and it makes me want to work harder.
The website is www.normal90210.org. Cheryl Schumann, the executive director of Beverly Hills Normal, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
My pleasure, Eric.
Before we hit up some California marijuana music, I want to say a very special thank you to Radical Russ Belleville up in Portland, Oregon, for giving us a shot here at the California Marijuana Report. We are online every Tuesday now as part of the Normal Daily Audio Stash. We have some very big announcements regarding the California Marijuana Report in the coming weeks. Please stay tuned. And now some California marijuana music. Here's Vetiver, Roll On Babe. Only on the California Marijuana Report.
our group on Facebook. I'm Eric Brenner for the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with the reminder that there will be no daily audio stash on Friday and Thursday. Of course, Thursday is Thanksgiving and Friday is the day after. But for tomorrow's daily audio stash, I'm going to give you a Thanksgiving special, extra jam-packed with goodness, 3 tunes and 2 interviews. It's the turducken of daily audio stashes. Also, some interesting news here, based on the number of shows I have done since taking over the stash on February 11th, 2008, it turns out that our 400th show will be on December 1st, and show number 420 will be on New Year's Eve. I'll make sure to have something extra special cooked up for that show. Thanks for downloading the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow and then back next week for more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.